why did Sony walk away from what made them billions? They made TVs, cameras, stereos, and even the iconic Walkman. They used to be the king of consumer tech. But slowly, they lost more and more ground and abandoned their strongholds to smaller companies with less money. What happened? How did Sony lose and how did they survive the fall? Because the real answer isn't what you think. To really show Sony's early dominance, we don't need to look further than the Walkman.
Take your cassette out of its case, and most people just see an empty box. But Sony saw something quite different. Sony introduces the only cassette player as small as a cassette case. The incredible sounding Super Walkman.
Introduced in 1979, it revolutionized how we listen to music by letting you play cassettes or CDs on the go. Sounds a bit archaic today, but this was revolutionary. It really did change the way everyone listened to music. In its lifespan, it sold over 400 million units. The Walkman was so popular that it became just a general term for portable music devices, like how we say Google for any online search. All that popularity came back to Sony. Yet, as we all know, this dominance didn't last forever. Soon, a new device began to replace it, the MP3 player. The same portability, but with the ability to store digital songs in the hundreds and soon, thousands. At the forefront of all of this was the Apple iPod, which quickly surpassed the total sales for the Walkman at 450 million. But Sony was the king. How did they lose their grip on this market? Well, we need a bit of context. At this time, we were in the new age of piracy, file sharing and torrenting platforms like Napster, LimeWire, and Kazaa. This was hurting Sony badly, but not in the way you might think. We might know Sony for consumer electronics, but remember, Sony is gigantic, and one of their major divisions is their music label, Sony Music. The music industry was losing millions to piracy, and despite being a technological leap, it made Sony hesitant to adopt the MP3 format. Back in 2003, Wired writer Peter Rojas put it this way, "Sony was so worried about piracy and sapping revenue from its Sony Music division that it chose to do nothing and let Apple ascend." Sony was so massive that it had internal conflicts of interest while competitors could move ahead and take ground. By the time they realized what was really happening, it was too late. To make matters worse, a similar thing happened to many of Sony's other divisions. Japan essentially owned the television market in the 90s and 2000s. Back in a time where TVs were much bulkier, Sony was producing the Trinitron line, which were big CRTs with a glass front. Sony made the best you could buy, but soon their grip began to slip, and quickly. Flat screens became more prominent, though it wasn't pioneered by Sony, but by LG and Samsung. Companies that were previously making cheap and low-quality items now made TVs nearly as good as Sony and much cheaper. LCD displays were becoming the dominant technology, and fast. In the first quarter of 2008, over 21 million LCD TVs were sold, almost overtaking CRTs. And by the year 2010, they sold 187.9 million units, with over 30% growth year over year. That year, Samsung shipped 34 million LCD TVs, while Sony only sold 23 million. Samsung had pulled ahead, and even though it looked competitive, Sony began to fall further and further behind. Sony struggled to compete, and to make matters worse, their profit margins were much tighter. Prices were getting lower, and lifespans were getting shorter. The market was changing from heavy, expensive, long-life TVs that Sony had produced for many decades to the opposite, and they couldn't keep up. But there's more than just TVs. As smartphones surged in popularity, it became the all-in-one device, and the Japanese tech giants failed to jump on the trend. But to Sony's credit, they did try. They tried to break into the smartphone market with the Xperia TL, which had some success, at least until Apple's iPhone took over the entire industry. The Xperia still exists, but Sony never managed to capture the market like they hoped. No matter the industry, the sentiment seems to be the same. Sony dominated, yet fell behind on trends and newer, younger, more agile competitors were popping up and stealing market share. Consumer markets began to become more and more digital, and Sony and other Japanese giants failed to keep up. Sony, being a gigantic company, was slow. Their hesitance with the MP3 player was just one example. Eventually, they began to exit consumer markets altogether, except one. As their old industries were leaving them behind, Sony had been charting some new territory, and it produced their salvation. In 2000, Sony released the PlayStation 2. At this time, Japan was still in a tough economic slump, yet people lined up for miles to get one. When you think about what the PS2 was, it makes sense. It had the most incredible graphical leap and processing power anyone had ever seen. Yet, it was also a DVD player, a console, but also a home entertainment system. All of that for 39,800 yen or $300. To many customers, it felt like a steal. Not only that, it had the best games and lots of them.
The critics agree, Metal Gear Solid 2 is a hit. Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, coming October 26th.
The PS2 was a hit, but it's difficult to fully grasp just how popular it was. To date, the console has sold over 160 million units and is still the most sold console in history. What makes this even wilder is that today, the gaming industry is 6 times bigger than it was in the 2000s when the PS2 was sold. In the year 2000, the industry generated $30 billion, but by 2023, that figure had climbed to $184 billion. Yet, the PS2 is still king, even ahead of the Nintendo Switch. Even though Sony's grasp on home electronics began to dwindle, the PlayStation kept them in the game with the PS2 and its many successful sequels. But that's not all. There's another huge market for Sony: headphones. In 2016, Sony released their iconic XM series, incredible noise-canceling wireless headphones which were really, really good. The critical and commercial responses were massive. It was a new generation of products, all the way up to the XM5 in 2022, which has made them billions. In 2022, their audio and video division generated 391.61 billion yen, or about $2.7 billion, much of which came from the XM series. If we fast forward to the modern Sony, most people would say they're doing great, in particular with their PlayStation, now with their PS5, and their high-quality headphones. These areas are indeed growing, but I don't think it's growing as much as Sony hopes for. I think this recent success over the past few years has a big asterisk beside it. Sony has released 5 successful PlayStation consoles, and the PS5 is no exception. I mean, the data doesn't lie. The console has sold over 70 million units. But there's something interesting happening. The PS5 can't quite catch up to their previous console, the PS4. Okay, but the PS4 was wildly successful, so that's not too bad. Yet, things have also changed. The gaming industry recently faced a huge slump, with thousands of layoffs and losses. In fact, over 34,000 staff to be precise. But there's more. Now, this might be an opinion, but I think Sony's market is shrinking. More and more people are moving towards PC gaming, and for casual gaming, they opt to buy a Switch or just use their phone. Sony still has exclusives, but I don't think that's working as much as it used to. I think this is why Sony is starting to release their games on PC along with PlayStation, including wildly popular games like God of War Ragnarok and Helldivers 2. But what about their headphones? Sony's are the best and are everywhere, aren't they? Well, yes, but not compared to another product. The Apple AirPods dominate this industry. These things are everywhere. In 2022, they generated Apple $14.5 billion, but in 2023, that jumped to $18 billion, almost 25% more. Sony might have some of the best quality in this space, but compared to the AirPods, they're very much a niche player. So, is there any hope? Well, as it turns out, yes. These consumer areas are what many people know Sony for, but there is a silent area in the background that has been generating the real money. You see, Sony has pivoted to something entirely different, yet not too unfamiliar. Since the 80s, Sony has been innovating in another industry, cameras. They were at the forefront of digital cameras, producing the Mavica as far back as 1981, an early type of digital camera that paved the way forward. In 1996, they released the DSC F1, the first consumer digital camera. This one camera changed the world. You could argue, in a way, that it was Sony who put Kodak out of business. In the 2000s, they began to push into the DSLR market, but then became the world leader in a new technology, mirrorless cameras. Most people think of Canon and Nikon for cameras, but in the mirrorless market, Sony is the king with by far the most market share, over 35%. Enthusiasts and professionals love Sony cameras. They're cutting edge and some of the best mirrorless you can buy, and that's not even mentioning their dominance in video. Massive industrial cameras are usually from Sony with their Hawkeye video technology, which is used for over 70% of soccer leagues and is commonly used in the NFL. Now, you might think, there's no way cameras are the biggest moneymaker for Sony. And you're technically right, at least about these cameras. These cameras aren't what's saving Sony, but their investment here did provide their salvation. Smartphones. After missing out on the smartphone revolution, Sony pivoted a bit and became a supplier for smartphones. They began to produce sensors for millions of smartphone cameras, including the iPhone, and this has paid off big time. In 2022, Sony had an incredible 39% of the global CMOS image sensor market, which virtually all smartphones use, as well as a long list of other technologies like cars and medical equipment. Then, in 2023, they jumped to 42%, or over double Samsung's market share. I think it's easy to overlook how insane that figure is. Across nearly every smartphone brand, including the iPhone, Sony is quietly present in almost half of them. Sony is even more dominant in the broader market of all image sensors, where Sony owns 53% of the market. This hints at what's really going on, and to complete the picture, let's take a peek at Sony's financials. For 2023, Sony reported that games and network services, aka the PlayStation, generated 4.26 trillion yen or $29.9 billion. Meanwhile, their imaging and sensing solutions, aka cameras, made 1.6 trillion yen or $11.2 billion. On the surface, it looks like PlayStation is the bigger cash cow, but let's take a closer look. Sony's operating income for gaming was 407 billion yen or $2.85 billion, but for imaging and sensors, it was 441 billion yen or $3.09 billion. This is huge. PlayStation might bring in way more revenue, but their image sensors and cameras are way, way more profitable. Just think about it. PlayStation and gaming generate 2.6 times the revenue, yet sensors still make more profit. This is Sony's cash cow, silently making them billions in the background. In a lot of ways, Sony did a 180. They went from a brand for everyday consumers with their logos everywhere to quietly supplying juggernauts in the background. But something interesting has happened over the years. Their TV division, after 10 years of consecutive losses totaling over $7 billion, made a profit again in 2017. That year, they had 10% of the TV market, but were number one in the premium market. They currently sit even lower at 5% market share, but many would argue that they have the best picture quality in the industry. It's good to see Sony still has a place in TVs, but that market is too cutthroat to rely on. They'll probably always be a small player here, but that's okay. After all, they've found a new life in a much more lucrative space that works for them. One of their Japanese counterparts, Panasonic, has found a similar new life but within the EV industry. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.